comes in. She's the author of a new book called The Mind at Night, The New Science of How and Why We Dream. She told Steve Paulson that the mysteries of dreaming have yet to be revealed.
There have been all kinds of competing theories about the purpose of dreaming. Some people claim that, well, it's just an accidental byproduct of the fact that the human brain is programmed to spin stories and make sense of whatever information it receives, you know, whether it's nonsensical or not. But there is some persuasive and mounting evidence that there may have been a biological reason for the stage of sleep, rapid eye movement sleep, to evolve originally in mammals. And that was that it became a period for processing survival-related information when the brain's offline and doesn't have to worry about being eaten by the saber-toothed tiger and so on. And there's been recent experiments that show that that process of incorporating important information from daily experience at night during the dreaming phase of sleep is, in fact, an important part of what's going on. There was a fascinating study done at MIT in animals. They were training rats to go through a maze in search of these little food rewards, and they were recording from their brain cells as they were traveling in the maze when they were awake, and then they just happened to keep the recording going on when the animals were asleep and discovered that, in fact, the exact same firing patterns that they saw when the rats were learning a new part of the maze were repeated when they went into rapid eye movement sleep, the dreaming stage of sleep, and the match was so precise that they could pinpoint where in the maze they were, you know, in their dream.
So that's one interpretation of why we dream, that it's almost like a computer in our brain, that we need to process this information that we may have been exposed to during the day or maybe during the previous week, and somehow our brain needs help to synthesize it, and we've got to do that when we're sleeping.
Right. And in fact, when you look at some of the studies of people who've gone through trauma, you see a consistent pattern that they will go through essentially a repeat of the experience as it occurred initially. And then over a period of time, as that experience is integrated with more positive memories in the memory bank, the dreams tend to change and have a more positive outcome. I cited in the book a couple of examples that were post 9/11 dreams, one of which involved an air traffic controller who had guided the flight that landed, unfortunately, in the Pentagon. And in her dream, initially, she would have a replay of the experience as it happened. And then over time, the dream changed and she was able to reach into the radar scope. And instead of watching helplessly as the blip continued into the building, she was able to cradle the plane in her hand and prevent any harm from happening. And after that point, she stopped having the nightmare version of the dream.
I mean, it sort of makes you wonder how far you can take that, whether if, for instance, you're the kind of person who is plagued by nightmares or at least anxiety dreams, whether if you somehow learn to dream differently, whether you can reduce the bad dreams and increase the good ones.
Actually, yes. There are people who are doing research about just that. You know, if you can do sort of a rehearsal in waking hours to try to direct the course of the dream and change the course of the dream, particularly negative ones. Rosalind Cartwright in Chicago has been doing work on this for years with people going through divorce who are suffering depression after divorce. And one of the examples she gives, I think, is a great one, where a woman who was going through a divorce from a husband who had been very domineering and it was very emotionally upsetting, first had a dream that the ex-husband came into her apartment, which had a beautiful white carpet, and he walked all over it in muddy boots, and she was very upset in the dream, and obviously a good visual metaphor for the problems that they had in waking life. And so the researcher was encouraging her to try to envision having a different ending to the dream, you know, if she had another dream like that, taking charge, speaking up for herself, that sort of thing. And so then she reported a couple nights later she had another dream in which she was going up in an elevator that had no walls around it and was terrifying, rising up story after story. And suddenly she decided, she was lying down on the floor of this elevator, and she decided to stand up. And as soon as she stood up, four walls popped up around her in the elevator, and she was completely safe and felt wonderful. Woke up, and it was that kind of sort of transforming dream, and she had deliberately made herself stand up in the dream. And so part of that was, you know, the rehearsal in waking life. And in fact, the positive